Today, I want to talk about standing fast in liberty. Standing fast in liberty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you, Lord, open our understanding today. Sow into our hearts, Lord, the truth. Deliver us from evil, from deception, from any lie, and any path that is not yours, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Years ago, when I was a new Christian, we had the Jews for Jesus showed up at our church. And one of them, he knew I was young in the faith, and I was very infatuated with the Jewish customs and ways, and I was intrigued, you know, and I thought, well, yeah, because Jesus was a Jew. The 12 disciples, you know, were Jews. The early church started out, right, Jewish. And so I was really, you know, inquiring about, you know, the Hebraic or the connection there that, and whatever I could glean from their understanding of the scriptures, you know. But this one woman, she told me, though, this, and I never forgot it. And I want you to hear this today because she had told me that be very careful, even when it comes to Jewish sects or Jewish believers in Messiah. Because even among the believing Jews, okay, there are many different groups and many different doctrinal viewpoints. And so just because they're Jewish and they're Christian does not mean that they're teaching good doctrine. Say amen, somebody. Our authority is the Word of God. Amen. And I want to ask you a question today because there are many different voices today, not just among the Jewish community, but in general. Our society is saturated with denominations and different persuasions and cults and all kinds of weird stuff going on that if we don't know what God really says, if we don't understand truth, as it is spelled out in the Word of God, the Bible, then we're very easily swayed. We can be very easily drawn into something that is not biblical. And there are those who are very slick and very good at twisting Scripture to make it say what they want it to say, often because they're actually not looking for followers after Jesus, but followers after themselves. Amen? Even the great Apostle Paul himself said, "What? Follow me as I follow Christ." And so we are to follow those leaders that God has placed in charge of us as long as they are following Christ. And I want to ask this question today because there is some confusion about the commandments and their place for us today in the new covenant. My question to you today is, does the New Testament teach we are to keep the Old Testament law? Whenever you and I hear of a new movement, a new thing, a new revelation that's being introduced into the body of Christ, how many know that we better be very careful? And somebody has a revelation, either by dream or vision, it says, God has showed me something that the body of Christ has not known about for many years. If you look into Seventh-day Adventism, you look into Mormonism, you look into Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, you look at the cults that are out there today, they all have the same story. They had a prophet or a prophetess who got a special revelation by an angelic visitation, usually, that was giving them a revelation that had been kept from the body of Christ since the time of Christ. And it seems like in the last couple hundred years, especially since the 1800s, there's just been a huge number of different groups and sects and cults that have arisen. How many believe we're living in the last days? I want you to look at this because in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, this verse, would you agree with me, makes it clear that we are to obey God's commandments. Question, what commandments are we to obey? Is it referring to the Ten Commandments? Is it referring to the 613 regulations, laws that God gave? What commandments are we to obey? Are we to obey all the commandments? What are these commandments? Look at Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 with me. Now behold, one came to Jesus and said to him, Matthew 19, verse 16, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Now he listened to his reply. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Now, how many here today believe that this young man was telling the truth? Do you really believe that he had never told a lie? He never broke any of the commandments? Rethink it, maybe. Has anybody here ever not told a lie? See a show of righteous hands right here. Never told a lie. Okay, how many here have told lies? So how many here have broken the commandments? Okay, good. All right, we're in good company then. Whew. All right. But listen, Jesus said to him in verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. What was Jesus doing here, folks? Jesus was revealing to this young man that he wasn't worthy of eternal life. Because he began to question Jesus further. Why? Because in his heart he knew he hadn't kept all of them perfectly. Nobody has. As a matter of fact, there's only one who hasn't broken the law. Amen. Only Jesus kept all the commandments. And look at Matthew 22, verse 36. A lawyer approached Jesus with this question. He said, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What did he say? He said, love God, what? With all your heart? And love who? Your neighbor, right? On these two hang all the law. You know what Jesus is really saying? He's saying that if you break these, just these two commandments, if you fail to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, then what? If you've hung all those commandments on those two things, that means that you've broken them all. Have you thought about that? If you offend in one, you're guilty of all. So far, so good? Now, why do we call the Old Testament the Old Testament? Because it's the Old Testament, right? It's no longer a testament that is in effect. Hebrews 9:13 says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and of ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies or sets apart for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Verse 15, and for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. For the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that would be the law, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. And that's exactly what happened when Jesus died for us. Amen. What did he say? He says, it is finished. The old, amen, is gone, the new has come. Jesus came to reveal the Father's heart to us. When we saw Jesus, we saw, amen, God in the flesh, representing the Father's heart. You see, the law was not able to represent the heart of God. When we looked at the law, it was rules, it was regulations, it was do's and don'ts. But what was missing is the spirit of the law, the heart of God. Amen. And Jesus was God in flesh. Amen. Who came and revealed to us the love, the heart of the Father. For God so loved the world. It's actually been love all along. But what was the purpose of the law? The law was to reveal to us that we could not live up to God's standard of perfection. And so Jesus himself fulfilled all righteousness, fulfilled all the requirements of that law so that we could be set free, amen, from the requirements of that law to walk in a new law, a new way, a new covenant, brand new. The old is gone, the new has come. Are you hearing me today? In John 12:49, he says, I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. What is he saying? He says, I'm bringing in, amen, the commandment of my Father to you. I'm revealing to you now what the Father is speaking in this hour. Jesus is the mediator. In the Old Testament, God spoke through a mediator, amen. He didn't speak directly to people, but he chose Moses to speak through, amen, to the people. But Christ came, what? As the mediator of this new covenant or New Testament. It's a new law. The old one was to be annulled, done away with. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you. Everybody say new commandment. You will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Look at the contrast here. Look at it again. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. What was he saying? I'm fulfilling the requirements, amen, of the law that were given at Sinai, amen, to Moses, the first mediator. Jesus came to fulfill the righteous requirements of that which God had spoken to him. You and I are given a new commandment. And what is that commandment? That commandment is that you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Not because you keep so many rules and regulations and practice ordinances, but because you have love for one another. By this shall all men know. Do you understand? We've got to get past the letter to the heart of the gospel, to the message. We have the written word so that we may know the living word, Jesus Christ, that we may know him personally. We must be born of his Spirit, and we must now live according to the new law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Amen. God has set us free, according to Romans 8, from the law of sin and death, so we could walk in the new life. Amen. The new life in Christ. This is the new covenant, folks. The old has gone, the new has come. You and I are not able to live up to God's standards. Therefore, Jesus completed it, fulfilled it for us, so that now we can come into relationship with Him. We can receive His Holy Spirit, and He would take that law and He would write it on the tablets of our hearts. And that law is saying, I love my brother. Love works no ill to my brother. I take care of my brother. I am my brother's keeper. When I love you, I fulfill the law of God. Legalism is loveless devotion to rules and to regulations. Are you hearing me? And if you get into a legalistic church, people there are usually very pious and self-righteous and very cold. And their love usually is very cold towards each other. And they're very judgmental about each other. Why? Because they boast in their own ability. Because they're putting confidence in their flesh and not putting their faith and confidence in the grace of Jesus Christ. That's why it is not of works, lest anyone should boast. The Pharisees were good at boasting about how holy they were and their accomplishments. But the man who beat his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He was the one who went down to his house justified. You see, Jesus said, your way is not my way. Amen. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. I've come to introduce to you what the Father's really like. In our own understanding, we cannot know God. But by the Spirit of God, we can come to know Him in the way that He really is. Amen? Not what somebody tells you, not even what the preacher tells you, but what the Holy Spirit teaches. John 15:10, He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Amen. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How beautiful it is for the body of Christ when we are together in the Spirit of God, in the bond of peace, amen, in the love of God, and when we are in that place together, where we are worshiping in spirit and in truth, walking in the Spirit, amen, then we have love for one another. And the world sees that, and they see this is authentic. This is not somebody trying to act like a Christian. This is somebody who is a Christian, amen, because they are known by the love that they have. Jesus here is contrasting what the Father gave Him to accomplish in John 15:10. And what we were commanded to do in the New Testament. Let me ask you folks again, did Jesus keep all the laws? Yes. How about the feasts? Did Jesus keep all the feasts? Come on, say amen. Amen. He kept all the feasts, and He became our Passover lamb. And when He hung on that cross, He said what? It's finished. Now, I believe that in the future, not in this dispensation, but God has given an ordinances even now, which is New Testament, that has come through the cross, the Lord's Supper, where we take communion together. Amen? And we celebrate in remembrance of what the Lord has done for us. And in water baptism. But in the ages to come, there will be a time when the nations will come up to Jerusalem and they will observe what? The Feast of Tabernacles. But that's not now, folks. This is in this dispensation, God is given grace. And if we confuse law and grace, we will fall from grace. If we try to live under law and grace simultaneously, you will have no power to overcome sin. Sin will get you. You understand? I have no ability except by the ability that God gives me to live holy. I cannot be holy except I abide in the Holy One. It is by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen. As He's written that law on my heart, when His love broke through, amen, I experienced love that I'd never known before. And the love of God constrains me now to love other people. Amen. And to love God. I want to do what pleases my Father, not because of commandment, but because of love for my Father. I want to bless you because I love you. Amen? I don't have an agenda, folks. Amen? My agenda is to do the will of my Father, just like Jesus did. When God commanded, He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, right? Has anybody been able to love on command? How many would be honest today and say, you know what, I think I've fallen short a few places in my life on that one? All right, good. What was the purpose of that? To reveal to us, we can't do it. I've had many people say, I've tried the Christian life, and it didn't work. I couldn't do it. You're right, you can't do it. You have to die to yourself. You're trying to do it. You die to yourself. That's how you live. It's no longer I that live, like Paul said, but Christ. It's not about me anymore. Folks, when we live a life that's all about us, we're selfish. We don't care about the things of God. We just care about us. Well, I'll follow Jesus as long as he gives me what I want. You see, there's too many people that just want what God will give them, but they don't want God. I hear it. I hear people say, oh, yeah, things really start turning around. You know, God starts answering prayers. I start getting right with God. I start, you know, coming back to church and doing the right things. And things start to turn around. My life starts getting better. And guess what? They get the job. They get comfortable. Things start going well. And what happens to them? You see, there's a problem there. There's a disconnect. It's always been about a relationship with God, amen? Not just about coming to him and as a divine sugar daddy and say, gimme, 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 amen? God wants to give us good things, but because he loves us. And when you give a gift to your son or your daughter, amen, or to one another, you give a gift because you're giving a part of your life, your heart to that person, amen, so that they would look past the gift and say, I love you, thank you, amen? When we know, when we encounter the real love of God, then we will want to love God back. If we're just asking God for things and for stuff and just make my life better, just patch me up, God, we've totally missed the point. It's not about patching up. It's about a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. I become a new person, and now I walk in this relationship with Jesus every day. And in that place, there is life and there is peace. I obey God because I love God, and I don't want to do anything to discredit my God. Amen. To bring reproach upon his name. I don't want to do anything to grieve him. But I want to bring pleasure to the one I love, just like you do to your husband or your wife or your children, amen, and even children to parents. You want your parents to be pleased with you, right? You want to get good grades so they can say, hey, you did a good job, right? So that, what, it's out of love that we do these things. Well, we hope so. Hallelujah. Folks, let me tell you that the writings of the Apostle Paul are the commandments of the New Testament. Check it out. In 1 Corinthians 14:37, he says, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. How many know that God gave Paul specific instructions? How many know that Paul had personal encounters with Christ, amen, where the Lord downloaded him and to him, and he revealed these things, and he's written them down in the scriptures, in the New Testament, in his letters, so that we could be wise to salvation. In 1 Corinthians 7:19, it says, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Now, there's some that look at this verse, and they say, see, you have to observe the law. You have to observe the feast days or the new moons. But listen to what Paul said in Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has done what? For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. If there's any other commandment, all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, there are others who will say, well, only the curse of the law was taken away, not the law. But listen to what Paul said in Colossians 2:13. Here's our authority. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. If we're going to live according to the commandments of the old covenant, or, amen, the Torah, if you will, how many of those are we to observe? Which ones do we hold on to? Which ones don't we hold on to? Are you hearing today? The handwriting of requirements that was against us. It's talking about the Ten Commandments that were against us. And they were condemning us because we didn't keep the law perfectly. But he's not only talking about the Ten Commandments, but also the ceremonial law that was given to Israel. Because there was all kinds of commandments with regard to holy days, foods, and other religious rituals. These were all part of a prescribed religion of the Jews. What did they do? These things were a shadow of what was coming, which was Christ. They pointed forward to the coming of Jesus. In his death on the cross, it says that right here that Jesus took this out of the way, nailing it to the cross. What? Canceling it as a bill is canceled when the debt is paid in. In the New Testament, the law is written where? There is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8:1, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is the law, folks. The law is to walk according to the Spirit now. Amen? Of new life in Christ. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Thank God! Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. How many know that Paul suffered much persecution from his own countrymen because he taught the gospel of grace? That's why he was being persecuted by the Jews. And that's why he wrote to the Galatians, because they were being led astray by those who had crept in and were trying to bring back the law and introduce it into the grace message of Jesus Christ, and therefore causing confusion among the believers. Oh, foolish Galatians, Galatians 3:1, who has bewitched you? He's saying this is a form of control. It's witchcraft. That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? In other words, they're saying it's not enough just to believe on the Lord. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the non-Jewish people, the Gentiles, by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you, what? All the nations shall be blessed. It is by promise, it is not by law, that we are saved. Amen? Stand fast, Galatians 5:1. Therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled with a yoke of bondage. You understand, folks? That there are those who will persecute people who are walking and living in grace. Why? Because they are used to a merit system. They are used to doing things by works and by recognition. Are you hearing me? But it is not of works. It is by the grace of God. We receive freely of the grace of God. Now we can come confidently, boldly to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and find grace to help us. Amen. It's by the power of God's presence, His Spirit, that we overcome. overcome the world. Hallelujah. We have the overcomer in us. And that law is now written in our hearts to tell us this is the way, walk in it. Amen. When you grieve the Holy Spirit, you know it. When you break His law, you know you've offended somebody, you've hurt somebody, you know it. Amen. If you're in Christ, then you have that law in your heart. And he said in verse 2, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. In other words, if they were being circumcised as an additional means of being justified. Galatians 5:4, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. Who is he talking to? He's talking to believers. Do you understand? That's what the Bible talks about when it talks about falling from grace. Falling from grace means I've taken myself out from under God's grace, and now I, in my own efforts, I'm trying to be holy enough to be accepted. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through, there it is again, through love. If someone wants to be circumcised, go for it. Okay? But it is not a means of justification. Let no one judge you. No one judge you. Because people will try to put you under their judgment to try to make you feel guilty or make you feel inferior or make you feel like you're not measuring up so that you will basically follow them and their established rules, or what their latest revelation might have been. You see, at the root of every cult, there is one person that some angelic visitation they have is telling them that, well, they didn't get it all. They didn't get it right all these years. All those millions of people and all those hundreds of years, you know, in a couple thousand years since Christ, they didn't get it right. So I'm here to tell you what the right way is. Come and follow me here. I'll show you what they've been missing all these years. All these people must have gone to hell then because they didn't have it right. And now all of a sudden, the last couple hundred years, we're getting all these new revelations and people having dreams and visions and God showing them new things. Oh, that nobody knew except them. Come follow me, because if you want to hear from God, you got to hear from the prophet. It's a lie. He says, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. Listen, here he says it again, verse 17, Colossians 2, which are a shadow of things to come. Everybody say a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Christ in me is to live. Amen. The hope of glory that had been veiled through the generations. Amen. Until the time of Christ. And by the Spirit of God, our eyes have been opened to realize that what God wanted was a people. Amen. He wanted a relationship with us. And he says, I will no longer be with you, but I will dwell in you. My Spirit will dwell within you. I will write my rules. Amen. My laws on your heart. And my commandment is this, that you love God, amen, and that you love one another. And if you do these things, amen, and you follow that rule, you're completing. You're reaching the requirements of the law. You're fulfilling them. How about coming to church? If you don't come to church, you're going to hell. No. Why do we come to church? Are we coming to observe the Sabbath? Let no one judge you, right? Regarding holy days, Sabbaths. Come on. Why do we come to church? We come to church because we love one another. We come to church because we want to be with each other. We want to be in fellowship with the Lord, amen, and with His people. We do it out of love. What do? Our obligation, amen, is to love now, to walk in love. That's why, not if I don't do this, then I'm going to lose credit with God. No, it's not about that. It's about obeying the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. We do this because we want to. We serve the Lord out of love and not out of obligation. We worship the Lord out of a relationship and not out of commandment. We are to worship God, what? In spirit and in truth. You understand? This is all about knowing Him, walking with Him, enjoying fellowship with God in the Spirit. Amen? And with one another. In that place, there is a liberty. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk, what? Not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In the Spirit, we have life and peace. The commandments are namely this: love your neighbor, love people, love God. Amen. This is my new commandment that I give you, Jesus said. And that testament is in effect when Jesus, amen, shed his blood. And the testator had died, and it went into effect. We're no longer under the law. We're in grace. Hallelujah. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know that what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Here Paul is speaking of the Jerusalem Council, as mentioned in Acts chapter 15, where they had got together and they were trying to determine whether or not the Gentiles should be bound to observe the laws as the Jews were. When they finally came to the conclusion, they said, brothers, look it up. They said, we weren't able to do it. Why should we put this yoke on them? Why should we require them to live according to the law if we weren't able to do it? And so what they did is they gave them a few commandments that they had to obey, which are New Testament commandments. And I want you to look at this. And it all has to do with love. If we love, amen. Now, they were to abstain from food strangled, abstain from meats offered to idols. They were to abstain from meat with blood in it, and abstain from fornication or sexual sin. They didn't put anything else on them. They said, just if you do these things, you do well. In Acts 15:28, it says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from sexual immorality. And if you keep yourselves from these things, you will do good. Farewell. Aren't you glad that God has not made it hard on us? How many would realize that under the law, it's hard? How many do I obey? How much do I obey? Which ones do I do? Which ones do I exclude? How many know it's the law of love? Amen. If you walk in love, you walk in the liberty of Christ. That's what Jesus came to share with us. Amen. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed to the devil. Amen. God came and He showed up and He loved people. Amen. And He demonstrated His love for us ultimately when He went to the cross on our behalf. I'm going to set you free. You can come into new life in a new way, a new covenant in my blood. I'm going to finish with this, Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works in the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. In other words, folks, if we try to be justified by our works, we may be able to impress people around us. We may have something to boast about, maybe, to some degree. But if we seek to be justified, amen, by our works, we will not be justified before God. What does God do? What does God command today? This is it. Are you ready for it? He commands all men everywhere to repentance, to repent, to turn away from your sin, to turn to Jesus Christ, to confess your sins and to renounce, amen, your ways. Take up your cross, follow Jesus Christ, follow the Lord, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're not under law and grace at the same time. You're either going to be under law or under grace. But if you try to live both ways, you will fail miserably and you'll never have victory in your life. Live in the freedom by which Christ has made you free. Amen. Jesus Christ sets us free from the law of sin and death so we can walk in the law of life. Hallelujah. I love it. And yes, the legalists will say, you're just a liberal. No. When you love, you don't do things that offend God. Amen? I love God and therefore I don't break the commandments that He's put on my heart. Amen? If I know it's wrong, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to grieve the one I love. And I also know that whenever I sin, I'm not just hurting myself, but I'm hurting people. And I'm not fulfilling the law of love. You see, that's the difference. It's not about rules. It's about a love relationship with God and with each other. And when we walk in love together, we honor, we respect one another. We do what we can to encourage one another to love and good works. Amen. To live a life, amen, of freedom in Christ. And don't allow anyone to put you back under a yoke of bondage. All right. Amen. Because there's many slick people that they can twist the word and use certain things and make you think that, well, I got to do all this other stuff too. No. It's a new testament in His blood. The old has gone. The new has come. It's a new day. We are walking in grace. Now is the time of God's favor. Now, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day where I can be born again, amen, and have my sins forgiven and have a brand new life. Hallelujah. I don't have to live in fear or guilt or shame about my past or if I haven't lived good enough. My trust is not in my ability, but in my Jesus. I trust in Christ alone. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh. In other words, you're not trusting in yourself, but you trust in the Lord. You walk according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah.